it is a joy to be here this morning, but we certainly want to pray for our pastor that he will get feeling better much, very, very quickly. If you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. I once heard a story about a man in 1984 who went fishing in a pond somewhere in Georgia. And supposedly, this man caught a bass that weighed 22 pounds and 3 1/4 ounces. All right, and he got that weighed, supposedly, and he got a signed document saying how much it weighed. And the crazy thing is that that was less than an ounce away from tying the world record for the largest bass ever caught, which was in 1932. That bass weighed 22 pounds and 4 ounces. Okay, so he reported it, and pretty soon the fishing authorities contacted him and said, hey, we want to see the fish that you caught. We want to verify the facts, make sure that everything's, you know, true. And then the man reluctantly said, yeah, about that, I ate it. The crazy thing is that that fish would have made him a fortune, and he ate it. He couldn't verify the facts, therefore he didn't get paid at all. All I can say is I hope that fish tasted really, really, really good, because that man lost a ton of money. So when it comes to the sport of fishing, we know that some fish are more valuable than others because of the size and the weight and whatnot. But when it comes to the church doing the work of evangelism and going out and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and leading people to faith in Him, we know that for all people who put their faith in Christ, there is no one more valuable in the eyes of God. You see, Jesus is the great fisherman. He is the one who was going out, and he's bringing people to faith in Christ. And he calls us to join him on his mission. As a matter of fact, that is the main point of this sermon this morning in Luke chapter 5. What we're going to see is that Jesus says that his followers are called to be fishers of men. And he calls us to lead others to follow him. And we're going to see how we can become fishers of men. So Luke 5, we're going to be in verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read there, and you can read along with me. I'm going to be reading out of the CSB. But in verse 1, here we go. It says, as the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. When he did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. Don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon. From now on, you will be catching people. Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. So how are we to become fishers of men in the way that Jesus is telling us to do so in this passage? I'm just going to share with you four ways that we can become better fishers of men. The first way is to teach the Word of God. Simply teach the Word of God. We can see that in verses 1, 2, 3. But before we look at chapter 5, we need to go back to chapter 4 and see what's happening here. If you look at Luke chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus is going around everywhere teaching the word of God. He's going in the synagogues, he's proclaiming the gospel, the good news of salvation. And as he's doing so, he's also casting out demons, he's also healing people with sicknesses and diseases. And he is becoming so popular. The Bible says in Luke 4 that Jesus sometimes would try to go to desolate places by himself, and crowds would come searching for him, and when they found him, they begged him to come back to their city because they wanted him to just stay with them. But then, listen to what Jesus said to them in Luke 4, verse 43. He said to them, "It is necessary for me to proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because I was sent for this purpose." So for Jesus, the purpose for why he came to the earth, the purpose for why we are alive, his mission is our mission, and that is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to teach the word of God. May his mission, may his purpose be our mission and our purpose. But that story just continues on in chapter 5, and you see that the crowds are still searching for him. Everywhere he went, they would find him. Verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word." Let me stop there and just point out some details. But notice it says, "As the crowd was pressing in." The word for pressing in there connotes the idea that these people were neck to neck, back to back. They were rubbing up against each other. That would have caused a lot of friction because these people, they just wanted to hear the word of God from Jesus, but they also wanted to see him. And so this would have caused a lot of distractions for the people listening to Jesus. And so Jesus had an idea. Verse 2 says that there were two boats, and one of the boats belonged to Peter and his brother Andrew, and the other boat belonged to James and John. And both of them were brothers. And these two groups of fishermen were friends, and they would fish together. And so Jesus went to Peter and went to his boat to finish out his sermon. But there's another detail that's kind of interesting, and I think it's worth pointing out, that Luke never actually mentions Andrew, Peter's brother. And it's interesting, because if you look at Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Mark, they both mention Andrew, but Luke doesn't for some reason. And I think that the reason why is because if you look at the rest of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which we know that the same author who wrote Luke also wrote the book of Acts, what you'll see is that Jesus, in this story, he is beginning the process of selecting his 12 disciples who would become the 12 apostles. But out of the 12 apostles, Jesus chose three men to become the inner disciples, and they would basically become the pillars of the early church. They would have unique responsibilities, and they would become the leaders. And Peter was going to be the leader of them. So it seems like maybe Luke is intentionally making that point, that as Jesus is selecting his disciples here in this passage, he's also picking Peter and James and John to be the inner disciples. But the text goes on, and he goes in Peter's boat, and then they push the boat out a little bit offshore, and then Jesus sits down and he finishes out his message. But when we think about the illustration of us being fishers of men, we have to ask a question. If you're going to go fishing, what do you need? You need bait. So what is the bait for individual Christians to use when they go out and share the gospel? I believe that the bait needs to be the word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. That needs to be the bait. And let me give you a little illustration. So I love taking my son Luke and Joel down to the conservation center right down the road from the church. We love to go fishing down there. And one thing I've found is if you take some bread and roll it up, you put it on a hook, and you cast it in the water, you will catch a multitude of fish. Not nearly as much as Peter caught, but you will catch a lot of fish, particularly brim, bluegill. And so we love going down there when it's not freezing and catch the fish. But when you think about the bait for Christians using as the word of God, here's the difficulty with that. That the Bible describes the human condition of every single heart as sinful, as spiritually sick, spiritually dead. And so that means that naturally, because of sin, people don't want that bait. People do not want the word of God. People don't want Jesus. So what are we to do? Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." They just don't want it. However, you're here, many of you are here this morning because you want Jesus and you have received him. So something has changed in your heart. And so what's the deal? What's going on here? Here's what's happening. Whenever the word of God is being taught and spoken, God is actively working, and he is bringing people to a point where they no longer want their sin, but they want Jesus. He is changing their heart, overcoming them, and bringing them to faith in Christ. Listen to the rest of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Paul said, "But it is the power of God to us who are being saved." So what is our role as fishers of men? I think our role is made very clear, again, from Paul in Romans 10, verse 17. It says, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." So our role is to teach the Word of God, proclaim the good news of Jesus, just like Christ did. What if we made the same mission that Jesus had our mission? His purpose became our purpose. Imagine the catch of fish that we would see, metaphorically speaking. You know, you might be thinking, I'm not a teacher. I'm going to leave the teaching aspect of ministry to those who are called to do that. But I just want to make myself clear that I'm not asking you all to become a life group leader or a large group teacher. I'm just talking about ordinary Christians having ordinary conversations with ordinary people, pointing them to our extraordinary God. There was a famous preacher in the 1700s by the name of George Whitefield. And he said this, "Other men may preach the gospel better than I, but no man can preach a better gospel." And may the same be true for us today, and it is true. There's no better gospel, so therefore, you can't go wrong. You might feel inadequate, but it doesn't matter. We share the gospel, and God does the work. We are just simply called to teach the Word of God. But we also have to remember, though, that as we teach the Word of God, we're not alone. God doesn't just abandon us. Like, He doesn't really need us, but He chooses to use us. So that means that we have to remind ourselves that we need to be a tool of God. That's the second thing that we can learn from Peter and Christ in this passage. We must be a tool of God. We can see that in verses 4 through 7. We know from Scripture that Jesus loved to use object lessons. He loved to use illustrations that pointed people to a deeper understanding of what he was trying to teach them and to convey to them. And here he is about to give one of the greatest object lessons in the history of teaching. So, Jesus just finished his message to the crowd, but he's not done teaching yet. Now he directs his attention to Peter and the rest of those men. And he is fully aware that Peter and Andrew and James and John spent the entire night trying to catch fish. And they couldn't catch a single fish. They couldn't even catch a cold. They were exhausted. They were frustrated. But then in verse 4, it says, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." In other words, go fishing one more time. But then, verse 5, "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." Now, another detail that's really important to notice is that notice how Peter addresses Jesus. He says, "Master." And in the Gospel of Luke, whenever there is someone who is not really acquainted very well with Jesus, they don't know him that well, they refer to him oftentimes as teacher or rabbi. But notice Peter does not call him teacher. He says, "Master." Already, Peter has recognized that there's something different about Jesus. He's not just a teacher. He is the master. That means that he is a teacher that has come from God, and he has authority. And so whatever he says, we must obey, we must do. And also, again, going back a chapter in Luke chapter 4, we have to realize that this was not the first time that Peter met Jesus. If you go to Luke 4, you'll see that Jesus actually went to Peter's house before this. Because Peter's mother-in-law was sick at home. She had a high fever. And as she was there, Jesus entered her house and he healed her. And Peter, aware of this, realized from that moment on, okay, this Jesus, he's not just a teacher. He is more than that. He's a teacher who come from God. He is the master. And so he expressed a little bit of frustration, a little bit of exhaustion whenever Jesus asked him to go fishing one more time because he didn't want to. He's tired. He feels like it's pointless. Do you ever feel like Jesus asked you to do something and you feel like it's pointless? Like, I don't want to do that. right? But Peter felt the same exact way. But the fact that Peter knew who Christ was here makes sense that he said, even though I'm tired, I've worked all night, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets. And you better believe it. He was so thankful that he obeyed Jesus there because verse 6 changed Peter's life. Verse 6 says, when they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. It says that they had to get James and John to get their boat, and both boats were full of fish and both boats were beginning to sink. It was incredible. But we know from this that Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, also wrote the Gospel of Acts. But it seems like maybe Luke was making an intentional comparison to what was going to happen later in the book of Acts. You remember the story in Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost? In a single day, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. And you know, here's what happened. So Jesus already sacrificed his life on the cross for our sins, and then he was raised victoriously from the tomb. He ascended into heaven, and then he sent the promised Holy Spirit to indwell the disciples. And the moment a person receives the Holy Spirit, they are given the gift of powerful evangelism. Every person who has the Holy Spirit, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. The reason why we have it is so that we will have powerful evangelism. You see, because it's not really you who's doing the fishing. God is the one doing the fishing through you. And that's what happened to Peter. He received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. Then he stands up and he preaches. 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. Not Peter. Not because of Peter. But it was because of Jesus working through him. And then Acts chapter 2 goes on in verse 47. And it says, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Notice it says every day, and it says the Lord added to their number. It doesn't say Peter or Andrew or James or John added to their number. It doesn't say the Apostle Paul added to their number. All it says is the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So going back to the illustration of fishing, I think it's fair to say that in the illustration of us being fishers of men, our role is to be the net. Our role is to be the fishing pole, if you will, because Jesus is the one who is the great fisherman, and he just simply asked you and me to yield ourselves to him, to obey him. You know, sometimes it's difficult. Maybe you know of a family member who is not a believer, and it breaks your heart. Maybe you know of a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe your neighbor, and they do not know Christ. What are we to do with this? Jesus is the master. Peter recognized that. We must, as a church, recognize that our Lord Jesus is our master. Even though Peter felt uncomfortable, he didn't want to cast the net one more time, Jesus tells us one more time, keep sharing the gospel. Don't give up, because if you give up, you're not going to see what I can do. All right? So we must be like Christ. There might be a million reasons why you feel like you can't share the gospel with this particular person. But all we need to do is remember what Jesus told Peter. Let down your nets for a catch and see me work. God will work. So this is something that I'm doing personally, and I just want to encourage you. Maybe you could do something similar. But one thing I am working on for my own, my own self is I have made it a goal this year that every single week I'm going to tell at least just one person about Jesus, okay? That's not really that hard, okay? But what if everybody in here who's a Christian decided that every single week I'm going to tell one lost person about Jesus? Imagine the quantity of fish that would be caught. Also, since I'm the kids pastor, I want to just pitch this out to you all real quick. Did you know that statistically speaking, two out of three people who are saved were saved before they were 18? And going a little bit deeper, 43% of those people who were saved before the age of 12. I'm just saying, the harvest is plentiful in the kids' ministry. So if you want to jump on board, come on and join the harvest. I'm just saying, there's a lot of harvest for y'all. But seriously though, The harvest is plentiful. We need to be actively sharing the gospel, yield ourselves to Christ. We need to acknowledge him as our master and obey him and share the gospel, even if we don't want to. We have to push ourselves. And I know if I'm looking inwardly and I'm being honest with myself, I think one reason why I struggle with evangelism at times is because I am so concerned about what people are going to think about me. I am so concerned that they're going to treat me differently or do something that I don't like. But really, what does that boil down to? It boils down to pride, does it not? So I just want to encourage us that we must be humble. If we're going to share the gospel, we need to humble ourselves, which really is what happened to Peter next in verse 8. You and I need to humble ourselves before God if we are going to be fishers of men. Look at verse 8. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord. Now, whenever people in the Old Testament or the New Testament encountered God, they all had a very similar response that Peter had right here. They always are deeply aware of their sin. They have fear in their hearts, and oftentimes they just fall on their knees or on their face before God. You see, Jesus was revealing to Peter in this moment who he is, and Peter had fear, and Peter was more aware of his own unworthiness and his sinfulness. And whenever God manifests himself, reveals himself in Scripture, those are called theophanies. And so it appears that in some way, Peter was having a theophany. Jesus was revealing who he is. He is God Almighty. Peter was standing in the presence of God. And to make this point a little bit more clear, I'm going to show you three examples from the Old Testament of particular, you know, supposedly good people who had theophanies, and notice how their response to seeing God was very similar to Peter here in this story in Luke 5. All right, consider Moses in Exodus 34, verse 8. This happened right after Moses saw God. God revealed himself, and Moses saw a part of God. Exodus 34, verse 8, Moses immediately knelt low on the ground and worshiped. Or Isaiah. God allowed Isaiah to see a vision of heaven, and there were the seraphim and the angels worshiping God, and there was Yahweh, the God of the universe, seated high in the throne. He is exalted. And the New Testament also says that God on the throne is none other than Jesus. But so Isaiah really saw a vision of Jesus and his glorified state. But here is Isaiah's response in Isaiah 6, verse 5. And I said, woe is me. He's pronouncing a curse upon himself. And he says, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Or consider Job. You know the story of Job. Job went through a horrific time. God, in his sovereignty, allowed Job to go through some terrible things. And then after a while, Job began to point fingers at God, and he was upset with God. And then God graciously revealed himself in a whirlwind to Job. And after that, Job said in Job 42, verses 5 and 6, I had heard reports about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I reject my words and am sorry for them. I am dust and ashes. So when a person comes closer to Jesus, it's kind of like using a magnifying glass on your sin. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you see your sin magnified. And that's what happened to Moses, that's what happened to Isaiah, that's what happened to Job, and that's what happened to Peter. And that's what happens to us as well, the closer we are to Jesus. But notice also, after Peter was just terrified, listen to what Jesus said to him at the very end of verse 10. Don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon. He said, don't be afraid. Now, why did he say that? And he says the same thing to you and me this morning. We don't have to be afraid. The reason why is because if you are in Christ by faith, your sins are completely paid for at the cross of Christ. The God of the universe became a human being so that he could die for you and your sins. And he rose from the dead and says, if you just turn from your sin and believe in me, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. You'll be delivered from my wrath, and you'll be forgiven. You'll be mine forever. So Jesus said, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Says the same thing to Peter, says the same thing for us. But also, it's worth pointing out that the moment Peter put his faith and his trust in Jesus, Jesus gave him a new task. And the same thing is true for you and me. The moment of conversion, the moment you are a Christian, you are died to yourself, you believe on the Lord Jesus, the moment you're saved, God also assigns you a new task. What is that task? Verse 10, from now on, you will be catching people. Jesus expects us to be catching people by pointing them to Christ. I love the way Charles Spurgeon put it. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Because if you are saved from your sin, if you know the Lord Jesus, you are called to be a missionary. You are called to teach the Word of God, lead people to Christ. So we need humility to do that, do we not? And it's hard. It's difficult. So how can we then grow in our humility? Well, like Peter, we need a God encounter. We need to see God. We need to be in His presence. And I know of only one way that we can daily be in the presence of God and encounter Him and experience Him, and that is through the Word of God. You see, if we neglect reading His Word, then we cannot grow in humility. And I would venture to say that unless we are actively, regularly, daily reading His Word, we will not have an effective witness for Christ. You know, I look forward tomorrow morning, waking up, and just spending time with Jesus, just being with Him. I'm going to go, you know, he's always with us, but there's a special time when you just get away, eliminate distractions, and just be with Him in His Word. And I will say this too, that our church has put together or has promoting a Bible reading plan that I started using this year, and I will say that it has deeply encouraged me in my faith. So I believe if you go to our website under the Discipleship tab, you'll find the Bible reading plan. And if you don't already have one, I want to encourage you to start that one and just be with God, encounter Him in His Word and pray and just be with Him. And I also want to just remind you what Acts 4 verse 13 says. Now, again, this is written by Luke, the same guy who wrote Luke 5. But listen what Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says. It says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, again, same guys, right, at the boat, Peter and John, and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. May the same thing be said of Linwood Baptist Church. You go out into your community, you go out into your workplace, you go out into the school, and then they say, wow, those people at Linwood, they've been with Jesus, haven't they? Right? I want that to be true of me, and I pray that will be true of all of us in here, that we will be humble before Him as we encounter Him and His Word. And there's one more step that Peter took, and that I just want to point out, and that's in verse 11. This is the fourth point, and that is that we must treasure and follow God. Treasure and follow God. Look at verse 11. It says, then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed Him. If you read Matthew and you read Mark, you'll see that Jesus was walking along the shore, and he told those four men, follow me. And it says they left the boats, they left their nets, they left their dad, they left and just followed Jesus. Luke just summarizes it and says they left everything and followed Him. They left their jobs, they left everything and just followed Christ. And I would just like to ask, would you be willing to leave everything behind and just follow Christ? I pray that we all as a church would absolutely treasure Jesus above everything else in our life and follow Him. Another question. If we look at the example of Peter, how many of us have actually responded to Jesus in the same way that Peter has? Let's just do a quick little overview and see what Peter did. First, he understood he was a sinner, right? He said, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man, right? He was a sinner. He recognized that. But next, he also believed that Jesus was the Lord. He addressed Him as Lord. But how many of us just stay there? We know we're sinners. We know that Jesus is the Lord. But notice that Peter took the next step, and he actually trusted and followed Jesus as Lord. And I just would love for people, maybe children in the sanctuary this morning, or adults, anyone, that how many of us know in our head that we're sinners, we know that he's Lord, but that's it. That's not enough. We have to actually trust Jesus and then decide that you're going to follow him. And in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And I know I'm just a net. I'm just a fishing pole, if you will. That's what we all are. But we are going to give a time of invitation and pray and trust that the Lord will bring people to faith in Christ. So if that's you this morning and you want to express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come forward and talk to one of us pastors, and we'll be happy to talk to you about how you can start a relationship with Christ. Or maybe you're here and you have decided that you want to become more of a faithful fisherman for the Lord Jesus. Maybe you have a lost family member, friend, coworker, someone that God is putting on your heart right now, and you just feel like, I want to come forward and I just want to pray for them. Maybe you want to join the church, maybe whatever it might be. I just want to encourage you during this time to let Jesus, our Master and our Lord, take control and allow him to lead us. All right, would you join me in prayer? Lord, we know that you're not just a teacher. You're not just the Master. You're our Lord. You're our God. You're our Savior. And I pray, God, that somebody in this room who perhaps is not a believer yet, who has never really trusted in Christ, I pray that today would be the day, God, that you save them, that you bring them to faith in Christ. And I pray for all of us as a church, Lord, that we would be so in love with you that we couldn't help but to just be with you every day and then talk about you every day. We're just ordinary Christians, Lord, just wanting to have ordinary conversations with just regular people. And I pray that we'll just point people to you. You are our extraordinary God. I pray that you'll be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.